This is the Dean, the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean, this is the Dean Show.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. Welcome to another episode of the Dean Show. To bring you up to speed quickly, we have been doing a series with our good friend Sheikh Yusuf Estes. We've been talking about the prophets and messengers who the most merciful, the most loving one, the creator of the heavens and earth, he has sent throughout time to guide the human beings. So, you go under thedeanshow.com, Yusuf Estes, and you click on his special section and you will catch up and come up to speed with all the other shows that we covered. We covered Adam, Noah, Moses, Abraham, and today, and Jesus, peace be upon all of them. And we're going to be talking today, wrapping it up with the last and final messenger, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. Without further delay, let's bring out former Christian minister, preacher, Sheikh Yusuf Estes. We'll be right back.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean,
this is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean,
this is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean,
this is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show. This is the Dean Show.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
How are you, Sheikh?
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah.
You're going to be running for president soon?
Maybe I'll be running from the president. But I was listening as you were introducing the program just before I came out. And you were mentioning about what we'd covered in the past. And I feel like we've really done a disservice to our audience if we tell them that we really covered it. Because we didn't cover in depth on anything, not really.
Yeah.
There is so much to say, and I hope that they'll get a chance to review some of the previous programs. But also to go to our website. It's called www.watchislam.com. There's a section there for the Qisas al-Anbiya, Stories of the Prophets. It was done in India for the children. We had a big children's project over there to help them to better understand. We wanted the children of India to know more about the prophets. And then we televised it and then make program copies. And they're free. Anybody can go there, www.watchislam.com. There's a menu on the left of the page. It drops down. Go to the bottom. It said list all. Bottom of that page, and you can see, I think, 16 episodes out of the 52 episodes we did. Now, when we talk about these prophets, one of the things that I've been trying to stress in our few episodes that we've done here is that it's not so much important to know the chronological order, to know particular dates. It's not going to be like a history test, but it needs to be that we understand who are these guys.
Yes.
Are they really prophets? Because there are some who have claimed to be prophets who aren't. And there are people who said that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is not the prophet that he claimed to be. And then there are others that say, yeah, they believe he's a prophet, but they also accept some other people who will say that weren't. For instance, there was one in more recent decades by the name of Rashid Khalifa, claimed to be a prophet in Arizona.
Who is he now?
Rashid Khalifa.
What religion was he preaching or
He's from Egypt. He was a Muslim.
Okay. Rashid Khalifa. Yeah. He claimed to be a prophet.
He established something in a group today called Submitters International.
Yes.
We'll disagree with that he was a prophet, because we will say that Muhammad is the last and final messenger and prophet. Yeah, the last of the Anbiya and the last of the Rasuls.
This was a hoaxer.
I think that's too far to go to that extent, because I don't know what delusion he may have had, but as far as the criterion, and this is for us, we measure everything up with a benchmark, a criterion. And without being too hard on anybody, but another one would be Ghulam Ahmed about 100 years ago from Qadian, India.
Elijah Muhammad.
Elijah Muhammad, definitely. He was in about 1931. He also claimed to be a prophet.
Joseph Smith.
Joseph Smith claimed to be a prophet about 150 years ago, coming from New England and going around to, I think, about Indiana is where he was killed. And then they considered him to be a prophet. But we will use a benchmark or criterion and say that if somebody is going to be a prophet, these are the things that they would have to measure.
Tell us, what is that?
Well, first of all, they have to claim to be one.
Okay.
So, and these that we talked about all did claim that. Another would be that their character would be impeccable. They would have an excellent character. Now, they could be given to making mistakes along the way. You know, anybody could make a mistake. We mentioned Moses killed somebody. He hit the man with one hit, but he killed him. Mm-hmm. It might have broke his neck. I don't know, but he killed him.
Unintentionally.
He intentionally hit him.
Yeah.
But he obviously didn't mean to kill him.
Yeah.
And then there was the case of Abraham lying to the people about being a brother to his wife, when actually that's not his sister, it's his wife. And again, we could use rationalization, well, we're all brothers and sisters in humanity, and they were brothers and sisters in faith or something like that, but this would be a mistake. But not out of character of a prophet, because they can make those kind of mistakes, because they are, after all, human. They have to eat, drink, go to the bathroom, sleep. Those are all characteristics of prophets because they're humans. And you have to be a human to be a prophet. Mm-hmm. So if somebody came to you and said, well, this guy, he doesn't eat, he doesn't sleep, and he floats in the air and all these kinds of things, well, that's probably a genie,
yeah,
a jinn. But it is not a real prophet because he has to be from us. He has to relate to us in our own, not only our own language, but also in our own culture, in our own traditions, that we can see what he's saying is good and what's bad, and we can take his word for it and believe him.
How could someone do an intelligent analysis to see that? Because I've heard some people try to put the prophet, the last and final message of Prophet Muhammad, in the same category as someone like Joseph Smith or some of these imposters that came along.
Well, I'll let the viewer do that for themselves and tell you that in order to be from Almighty God, they do need to have some kind of identification.
Like a badge?
It's a good idea, a good badge. And the badge or identification of a prophet, especially when it's a rasul, we talked about special prophets, a cut above their average prophet. These are the ones that come with an actual message, canceling anything that it might have been corrupted prior to that.
Yeah.
For instance, Ten Commandments are clear, but there were a lot of other commandments that came along too, that if you look at, you may question why. Maybe it was indicative of the time that they were there receiving it. Maybe it's something that they came up with themselves and added to it. But for you and I, for instance, we have no problem working on Saturdays, whereas the Jewish faith, they don't allow that. For the Christians, they're not supposed to do any work on Sunday. Well, we don't have a problem with that either. Friday is our day, and we're able to work and play and do what we want on Friday, except for that 1 hour or so that we're supposed to be sitting there listening to the Jummah Salat that we have an obligation for. Mm-hmm. And so this is how things might become updated, if you will, if I don't mind to use that. But with each of the real prophets that came, their signs were clear and they were observed by trustworthy people who communicated it to their people. And they should be known to you who they are and where it comes from. Now, today, we can easily verify Jesus. We can easily verify Solomon and David and Moses and Abraham and Adam clearly and without any doubt in our minds as Muslims because they're mentioned in the Quran. But if somebody wants to come up with something other than that, they would have to have a proof stronger than the Quran. So our benchmark is going to be the Quran itself. For us, the Quran is the final word. Not just the final word as in a conversation, that's my word, that's my final word, but also it's the final word of Allah. He's not going to send anymore, and he said so. Allah has made it clear he's not going to send it anything else, and he doesn't need to because we have it. Why do you need another revelation when you've got the Quran right there? What's the matter? You don't want to take the time to learn Arabic, that's your problem. But it's clear and it's there. Quran is there. And it hasn't changed. Now, there are those who've tried and tried to insist that it's been changed, this and that. They made websites. But anybody who's done even a cursory study of the subject has to come to the conclusion that, no, they're wrong. There are things that they are trying to suggest. They haven't researched it themselves. They just took it from somebody else. And when somebody's a real scholar, come and say, no, you look, read it in Arabic, and you can see. So the Quran is very much verifying Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, as the Messiah. He is the Christ. He is the one who was to come and lead the Jews. But what the Jews at the time didn't understand, the children of Israel didn't understand, that he would be here twice. Mm-hmm. He came, he left, and he will be back. This is known to us as Muslims clearly, that Jesus, peace be upon him, yes, he was here and did walk with the people. He taught a message, and then he was pulled up to God, at least with Allah, and he'll be back in the last day. Mm-hmm. We're the only other religion to believe. The Christians believe that, and we believe that. Who else can make such a claim?
Don't the going off on a tangent here, don't the Jews, they're expecting a Messiah?
Even to this day, they're still expecting. When Jesus returns, some of the Jews will recognize him as the Messiah, and they'll accept that. Some Christians will recognize him. Some Muslims, different people will recognize him.
Now, they talk about this Messiah coming that, you know, there'll be peace, that the lamb will lay down with the
lion.
That
will happen.
But this is the same things that we have in our teaching.
Happen.
So that's the Messiah we're talking about.
That will
that's
happen.
Jesus, peace
be upon him.
It hasn't
happened yet because it will come at a time of war.
Yeah.
And when he comes down, there will be one here called the Antichrist or the Messiah Dajjal.
Yeah.
That's the Arabic. Messiah from Messiah, Dajjal, false Messiah, the liar.
Now, you'll see a lot of crookedness. What I mean is ambiguity in a lot of the previous scriptures because we know we don't have the originals. But everything, if you study it, it starts to make sense because you see consistency of the same message. And
the consistency of the message where it is consistent is important because I've measured that up to the Quran.
Yeah.
And I found there's no contradiction between Quran and Bible except where the Bible is contradicting itself, and in those places it does contradict itself against the Quran. But the Quran has no inconsistency, no contradiction in it, and those who try to promote that and say that, yes, there is, it's this, it's that, and all, you bring them and sit with them and talk with them, and you'll find they will run away. Mm-hmm. As soon as you start to show, what about this, what about that, do you know the Arabic language? Did you read it in Arabic? Do you know what it is said about that? And they will try to come with weak or fabricated hadith and claim all this stuff. But the Quran has never, ever, ever been successfully challenged by anyone.
Tell us, because this is the last show on this series, and we're talking about the last and final messages of the Prophet Muhammad. Can you talk about when the revelation came, how this actually happened? He was in the mountain, and he was meditating. Can you talk about this?
Well, first of all, it is important to have, I think, a complete program for that.
Yeah.
And we don't have time in this series. So let us just stay general on the prophets themselves without getting too deep. But the same angel that came to Mary and told her she was going to have a baby is Gabriel. And he's called Jibril in Arabic. Jibril came to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, just as he came to other prophets in the past.
Yes, yes.
And ordered him to recite. And when he said, and a lot of people in English, they say read.
That's
it's wrong.
Bad translation.
It's not bad, it's incorrect.
Incorrect. So it's recite.
Because it could be read, but it doesn't carry the proper connotation. Because it would mean that the Gabriel didn't know what he was supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. Because Prophet Muhammad was illiterate. He never learned how to read or write.
Okay.
So why would he be ordering that? He was ordering him, Iqra, recite. Because finally it comes, what shall I recite?
Yes,
He tells him what to recite, actually. And what he tells him to recite, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, khalaqal insana min alaqa. Iqra wa rabbukal akram, alladhi alamu bil kalam, wa alamu las insana malam yalam. Allah forgive me for any mistake, but the translation more or less is saying that recite in the name of your Lord. So that's why when we recite, we say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Recite in the name of your Lord who created human beings from an alaqa. Recite, and your Lord is so generous. And he taught human beings how to use a pen. It says man. Taught man how to use a pen. Taught them what they didn't know. We said in one of our first programs, we talked about Idris, Enoch. He's the one who this is talking about, that Allah taught him. He was the first of the people to learn to read and write.
Hold your thought there, because I've heard an argument. Someone said that he was choked. Again, going back to not knowing the Arabic.
You're talking about Prophet Muhammad?
Yeah. I had a conversation with someone.
I saw that on the internet.
You saw that too?
What a joke.
Now, we don't want to go too deeply into this, but this is obviously incorrect. He wasn't choked.
First of all, I said we would have criterion that we would use.
Yeah.
Well, I will just say prove what you said.
Yeah.
That's the criterion. When you have verified human beings by name, and we know when they were born, we know when and where they died, we know people that knew them who also verified them. So it's a network, not some random person that you just make up a name and say, this is John and Fred and George.
Yeah.
You know, who's Fred who? George who? We don't know.
We know who these people are now.
We know very well who they are.
So what are they saying in the Arabic?
They say that the message came to him and he was there in the cave in the mountain of light.
Uh-huh.
He was fasting.
He was fasting.
Okay. And what happens, the angel enters upon him and says to him, recite. And he says, I'm not a reciter. Recite, and each time he does squeezing him. But it is said that the enthusiasm of the angel who had been waiting since the creation of Adam for this chance to finally get to see him, he was very excited.
It's like I was excited. Oh, I can't compare it to that, but kind of, I got excited to see you, so I gave you a nice little.
Yeah, you did. You almost squeezed me. You know, the same kind of grasp that you gave me, hugging me when we first started this show some time back. Hugged me.
Yeah.
And it was.
I gave it that extra little excitement, so I squeezed you a little bit. So
and
that kind of squeeze, would
you guys
say?
In martial arts need to be careful, you know. But for sure, this is, I think, a chance for people to realize when somebody wants to disbelieve, they will make up, they will lie, they will repeat other lies, then they will take something from somebody who's even a known liar rather than to consider this because they don't really want to believe in Allah.
Yeah.
So anyway, setting that aside, what makes a person a false prophet? Well, there is no criteria to back him up. What is the criterion to back up, for instance, Ghulam Ahmed? There were many people that knew him and heard him contradict himself. We know that there were people 100 years ago who knew and heard, and even the British newspaper, which Britain controlled India at the time, wrote him up. Because then one of the last things he declared, I think it was in September of 1907 or something like that, he declared that he was God.
Mm-hmm.
That was his last statement because they found him dead in his own toilet. He had what they call amoebic dysentery or something similar to it, and he actually fell into, those were open toilets, by the way, and he fell into it and drowned. I mean, this is this is known.
How about this Joseph Smith character?
You know, I don't say character like that because I have respect for the Mormon people themselves, and I don't wish to hurt their feelings.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
But historically, we do know that he was killed, and there were different reports. Some said that he was shot, and others said that he was hung. And then there was one that even said that he was split open and his innards taken out, which is very horrible. But in any case, he was murdered.
Yes.
And putting that aside, because prophets have been murdered.
Mm-hmm.
So that might even cause me to say, well, let's look a little bit closer. But we also know that he had business deals. He issued his own coinage or money from those business deals. Even in Ohio, they still have records of his actual signature on those bills that he signed out from his funding companies that he put together. And whatever happened to those companies, I'm not blaming him or saying he was, you know, but prophets don't get into those kind of deals.
And if you look deeper, have you looked, it kind of gets weird that Jesus was the brother of Lucifer and that all the human beings are going to be gods, demigods, semi-gods,
real prophet.
Just weird teachings.
If he's got to be coming with the same message as Adam.
Yeah, so this is nothing that the previous prophets taught.
If it is, show it to us.
Yeah, okay, so no proof. So getting back, I didn't want to go off this 10.
Another thing is the proof itself. If you said, well, we have a proof, okay, where is it? Well, they said it was gold tablets, but they're out in the ocean. Nobody knows where they are. Okay, then you don't have it anymore.
Okay, but we have the living miracle, the Quran.
In the beginning of the Book of Mormon, it says, this is the one that I have at home. It said, this is the 19 such and such version, replacing all the previous versions and correcting all the mistakes. That statement alone...
Hey, it's a red flag right here.
Yeah, because the next one came out said the same thing about that one.
And the what does the verbatim word of God say? This is a book where there's no doubt.
That's it says
deep statement.
Actually, it didn't say it exactly like you said it. It says it like this. It mm-hmm. doesn't say hada. It says yeah. dalek.
Yes.
Dalek al kitabu larib.
Yes.
Fihi hudil mutakin. This is a book. It's not the way to say it because that would be hada.
Yes.
It says dalek.
Uh-huh.
That is the book.
That is the book.
That book with Allah uh-huh. is the book wherein there is no doubt.
Yes.
A source of guidance for those who are God-fearing
now
people.
Now we're talking about the Quran.
This is the very first words yes. in chapter 2.
So it's not saying this Dalikul is a book. Dalikul
kitabu la raiba fi hudil lil muttaqin. This is what it says. That is the book wherein there is no doubt, a source of guidance for those who are having fear of their Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's important to look at something here, that when you say this is not the one in your hand, that's right. It is the recitation mm-hmm. that you're hearing. So Quran means recitation.
Mm-hmm.
Quran literally means recitation.
What's recited?
So what you just heard was Quran.
Yes.
And but how did, you can't see it. You can see me, but you can't see that.
See, this is exciting talking about because there's no confusion, no crookedness here. Not what you just said when you open up this Book of Mormons that this is a replacing...
Well, I don't need to attack anybody.
Not to attack, but just to see when you see the truth coming, how it's just clear, it's straight. No ambiguity.
The Jehovah's Witness, they also have their own translation of the Bible and their own beliefs. What I say is that when you start going after this to pinpoint one or the other of these so-called prophets, you will alienate yourself in front of these other people for no reason. There's yes. no benefit. Why don't we just talk about what we have
okay.
and let the people come to their own conclusion?
Tell us before, there's a couple more points before we come to an end. Another argument that I've heard is that when the prophet, peace be upon him, last and final message of Prophet Muhammad, when he had this revelation, he didn't know if it was from who it was from. He ran back scared to his wife. How do you refute this? You've heard this argument?
Well, actually, he said it himself, so yes. let's take what he said. He said that he has this experience that the angel Gabriel came to him
mm-hmm.
and repeated it three times to him to recite and told him what to recite. And then when he was upset, of course, because, I mean, how would you feel if you were in a cave, in a mountain, in the nighttime, because that would happen in the nighttime, and somebody comes in there and, you know, startles you and starts talking to you in your language in a beautiful way, and then they just, like, disappear. Well, what would you think?
Mm-hmm.
So when he came back, he was thinking about this, and he sat down and he told his wife, cover me up, cover me up. And she's saying, what's going on? He said, just cover me up. So he was cold. This could be from the night, or it could be he's shuddering from the experience. She wrapped him up, and then after a while, he was talking to her like a man talks to his wife, very openly, and say what's in your mind. And he said, I'm wondering if I'm nuts, mm-hmm. because look, this is what happened to me. What do you say?
I think any normal person would think he's nuts.
Well, I don't know what normal is, but because there's no other way to explain.
This unique experience.
That's a unique experience. And so she is listening to what he's saying.
Yes.
And she tells him that, no, I don't think that that you're nuts or anything, because I know you to be for 15 years that they were married at that time. They've been married 15 years. She said she never heard him tell a lie.
This is amazing.
In 15 years.
Wow.
In a place in those days that lying was common. He never told a lie. And she said, and he was good to bring the families together. He was also known as the trustworthy. He was also known as the advocate, champion of the downtrodden and that kind of thing. Very generous and kind. And so why would God send some kind of mixed up thoughts to him. Mm-hmm. And she said, I believe your message, which was to know that there's only one God. Mm-hmm. So this is mentioned.
Yes.
She says, I believe there is only one God and we should worship him and not these statues, because Arabia was filled up with these false notions, superstitions, and incorrect worship at that time. So she said and confirmed that, yes, I believe there's only one God and you're his messenger. And by her doing so, she becomes the very first Muslim.
And this argument that someone might bring up is just very weak if you look at it. The way you just explain it very eloquently, I mean, any rational person
can
see that.
Well, when you start mentioning, like, being choked, another one is to say you had epileptic seizures.
Yeah.
Well, I just received this week's Newsweek and was reminded of an article that I read some time back about epilepsy. Mm-hmm. And epilepsy, you read all of the signs of epilepsy are nothing that was ever described about Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him.
Yeah.
This was just something attached to it. But talk to people that have it. 1 in 10 people in the United States have epilepsy. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to be that hard for you to find somebody and ask them, did this happen? Did that happen? And no, this is not what happened to him. No. Not whatsoever.
Let's start to conclude and sum up. We started with the first man and prophet, Adam. We talked about Moses, Abraham, Noah, and all pretty much some of the main messengers and prophets. We came to the conclusion now with the last and final messenger sent to mankind, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. What do we want the people to leave after watching this whole series? Give us some advice, Sheikh.
What were the purpose behind us sharing all of this is to identify what makes somebody a prophet. Mm-hmm. At the same time, we should identify what is not a prophet. Mm-hmm. And also that not to consider ourselves as prophets. Mm-hmm. The last and the final message itself is the Quran. If you're in doubt about it, bring a book like it. That's a challenge number one. Bring 10 surahs or chapters like it, challenge number two. Bring even one chapter like it, that's challenge number three. Another one is, do not the disbelievers observe that if it were from other than Allah, they would find in it many contradictions. And then another challenge, it says, we shall show them our signs on the farthest horizon and within themselves. And this is mentioned in the Quran, Allah saying, we is the royal we, of
royal
course,
we, yes.
Not that there's any plural with God, we know. So look at these challenges, go do it, and look to the signs. Now, I would like to take this opportunity to mention another website. Mm-hmm. This one is called Science Islam.com. There are 9 videotapes of 9 scientists, not Muslim, who went to, I believe it was done in UAE, I'm not real sure where they did this. I'd have to go back and look.
Yes.
But this conference was held maybe 15 years or so
ago. And you
ago.
Got all their testimonies?
It's videos. They're on.
On which website?
On camera. Science Islam.
Science Islam. They can go.
One of them actually accepted Islam while they were videotaping it.
Somebody out there right now that probably wants to accept the way of life of all these messengers. What you said earlier when you defined, please do it again, the 5 things that equal the one word.
Islam is from the word aslama. Aslama in English has no single word. You need 5 words. Mm-hmm. Surrender, submission and obedience, insincerity, and in being in peace with whatever your environment or circumstance is after you've done the other 4.
That person wants to accept this way of life. What do they have to do, Sheikh?
First thing they need to do is to open up their own hearts, clean out all the misconceptions, clean out the false notions, any hatred, any bigotry that they have. They need to remove it because Allah is not going to guide them. Then when they've done that and said, and how you do that is keep saying, I'm sorry, I'm wrong, in your head.
Humble yourself.
Yeah, very humble. And in that condition, say, oh, my Lord, oh, God, whatever you call him, not Jesus, not Muhammad, not Moses, but God, guide me. And be honest and sincere and look and watch what comes to you. The guidance that you get after that is the guidance you should follow.
This is deep and very simple. No crookedness in it. It's the straight path. Thank you very much for being with us. Just one more time, that website with those scientists' testimony?
Scienceislam.com.
Scienceislam.com.
And the videos are there.
Thank you for helping us with this series. We hope to have you again back here again sometime soon on the Deen Show, inshallah. And thank you for being with us. You've seen that consistent message has been the same. It wasn't a new way of life sent with every messenger. It's been that way of submitting to the one God. Simple as that. Submit yourself to the one God. Do what the Shaykh advises us to do, to humble ourselves and repent to God alone, just like Adam did, Abraham, and all the messengers, and humbly ask God to guide you and be ready for what comes next. And we hope to see you again next time here on the Deen Show. Until then, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you.